Good evening, everyone. Happy Valentine's Day. Welcome to the Ascension Secrets of Saint Germain show. I'm Troika Saint Germain, and for this wonderful Valentine's Day, I had hoped to have two of my friends on as our guests. They are twin flames, and they have written a book about twin flames. And unfortunately, they weren't able to make it after all this evening. But they're going to be on March 7th, 2 weeks from tonight. So is it 2 weeks from tonight? No, it's 3 weeks from tonight. So be sure and listen to them. So I'm going to, and I'm hoping to have a few people call in that said that they were. So hopefully they will. And in the meantime, anybody can call in. Let me give you the numbers for that, the toll-free numbers to call in to be on the radio. For the United States, I'm a little bit out of breath. I wasn't prepared quite early enough. I got in late tonight, so I'm out of breath. I'll catch up in a minute. For the United States, the 50 states, you would call 877-876-5227. If you're in Canada, the toll-free number for you to call in is 888-810-8322. If you only have one line and you can't listen on the Internet and call at the same time, just get off the Internet and call me, because you'll be able to hear yourself on the archive shows afterwards, so you won't miss a thing, and you get to be on the radio. Along with $1.50, we'll buy you a cup of coffee. Those that are international, other than Canada, unfortunately, we do not have a toll-free number for you. You would have to incur the cost of the call, unless you have a cell phone or Skype or something that has free minutes. And that number would be the plus one. I think it's, is it one for the United States or 01? Anyway, whatever our international code is, followed by 530-876-3222. So now that that's over with, I did want to talk a little bit about Valentine's Day.
Hello? Hi, Troika?
Hello?
Hi, this is Andrea.
Andrea, hi, you finally called. How are you?
I did. I called in from New Mexico. How is it going down there?
Fine. Valentina's saying hello to everybody.
We're on the air?
Yes, we are. And
well,
so is Valentino. This is Valentino's Valentine Day.
Oh, I know.
Barking at something. I don't know what he's seen something that I'm not seeing, but he's barking at it. So
I didn't hear that. I'm sorry. What was that?
Oh, mean? I said Tino's barking at something that he can see that I can't see at the moment. So I don't know what it is. He's out there barking. How are you?
Well, I am fine. I'm just sitting here looking at your great website with the violet flame and the golden flame coming out from it. It looks really good. Did you design that?
Which one are you talking about? I've got 15 websites.
Yeah? It's Ascension Secrets of Saint Germain.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the name of the radio show.
But did you design it?
Yes.
It is absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you.
It is really good. Well, I haven't got a heck of a lot to say, but I just wanted to thank you for helping all of us through the years here.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I want to tell people about you.
You do?
Yes. For the listeners, Andrea is a very special person, as we all are very special, but I'll tell you in which way Andrea is special. Her full name is Andrea Arrowsmith, and she is hearing challenged on the third dimension, but is blessed with hearing the divine music of the spheres and the angels. And she is a gifted musician, and she has her own CDs that of music that she composes that she hears from the higher realms. But she also offers a very unique service for people. She's done mine. It's quite amazing. She can hear a person's soul song and create a whole CD of music, of your own personal music. And when you hear it, it really awakens the deepest, you know, the deepest parts of you, and you experience either a sensation of going home or home coming out from you. You know, it's a wonderful thing. It's been many years. How long ago did you do mine? Do you remember? Was it about 5 or 6 years ago?
Yeah, I do. I think it was about in the year 2000. No, I don't. 2002?
Could be. Yes, about 5 years ago.
It was.
And I still listen to it from time to time.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I have it permanently archived on my computer, so I don't even have to put the CD in anymore.
Wonderful. Yeah. And it goes along with the music of the spheres of the Saint Germain that you're working with.
Mm-hmm.
And the music of the spheres has that universal harmony that each one of us aspires to and is, in fact, in our own self. And so the harmony of the music itself plays a role in everybody's harmony and how we relate to ourselves.
Right. Well, you know, I talk about frequency and vibration all the time and energy, and we know, most of us know, that everything is energy. And energy, what music is, or sound, is energy made audible, and color is energy made visible. So that's why color and music are, you know, I say music, but sound of all types, toning and crystal bowls and Tibetan bells and all kinds of sound, and color has such profound healing properties for all of us, because it's a way to pinpoint the type of energy that you want to work with. Each note and octave resonates to a certain frequency and vibration, and there's colors that match it. And of course, when you combine the color and the music tones simultaneously, it's a very incredible experience.
It is. Well, I guess if you, the world of thought and the world of realm of tone is one, actually, and then the forces that are playing through the archetypes of what you're talking about come together, and they actually create species of plant, animal, and human forms, and the different sounds then blend into a great grand chord. And actually the tone, when we're thinking of a thought or that's either harmonious or discordant, that actually comes into the form in our bodies or around us. And so the form as of even species are changed with the positive or negative thought forms that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where some of, you know, you probably know they've raised roses without thorns.
What about roses without thorns?
Roses without thorns can be created by the effect of the thought that's put on
them. Oh, yes. Well, you know, I was a florist many, many, many years ago. And
I saw that.
And designed Rose Parade floats many years after I was a florist. I actually worked as a florist while I was going to high school.
Did you?
And worked for a Beverly Hills florist who had what's called a closed shop. He only did those big, fabulous movie star and debutante-type parties.
Wow.
And it was quite fun. We had people like Cary Grant come in every now and then and get a dozen roses. But
that would have been nice to look at.
Yes, the roses were nice too. Anyway, we did have roses without thorns. They were very expensive, but yes, they did exist and do exist.
Yeah, they do.
But you know, from my standpoint at that point, you know, this was a long, long time ago when I was in high school,
yeah.
And I didn't know about vibrations and frequencies and all of that. My understanding is that they were hothouse and hybrids, and took, you know, many, many years and generations growing,
maybe,
you know, to get ones without thorns.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
But there had to be a thought first, you know.
And then the thought has a sound, like in a Bible, it's in the beginning was a word.
And the word. Well, they say, you know, in the Bible it says, in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was either good or with God, depending on which version you're reading, which translation.
Uh-huh.
I believe that what that really is in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was God, or the Word is God, because that is how we create. You know, when we become the creator gods that we are, and create our life, it's created with our Word.
Right, and that doesn't, that I think comes in that the Word was made flesh. We actually become that, you know, in this physical realm. You know what I mean?
Very definitely.
And then it's a beautiful thought, really. I mean, it's a beautiful thing that you're going in that sound as a creator and a sustainer of all form. That really is the truth.
Well, and it's the universal language. I mean,
you
know, all people, regardless of what language they speak, can communicate through music.
Yeah.
Through the melodies. And you know exactly what that person means by what choices of melody they're playing to represent themselves or their feeling at the moment.
On the internet tonight, I was just looking up for my stuff that I'm doing. I was just looking. I was just amazed to find out how many groups are going into music and establishing peace and harmony through that. I mean, there's all sorts of groups. I'm really glad to see it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes. Well, you know, I mean, just not too long ago, the Beatles, and you know, so much new thought and way that we think and philosophy and social movements and political movements and everything starts with music.
Sure does.
And, you know, the Beatles, I mean, of course, we're all still singing Imagine, written by John Lennon and performed by the Beatles as an anthem.
It is.
You know, and gosh, I remember in the 60s and 70s, all the songs about peace and about higher dimensions and getting along and the world is one. And, you know, that was, 30 and 40 years ago that music was planting that. And I firmly believe, and I know that you will know this because you're one of the people that they work through, but I know that the higher realms and the masters and the angels work through musicians and kind of plant the seed and give them inspiration as to what to song music to create and lyrics to create as a way of teaching and a way of getting information across. Saint Germain has told me that yes, he was very instrumental with several songs by the Beatles. He did work with the Beatles quite a bit. Saint Germain.
Oh, did he?
He worked with the Beatles. Without them, I don't think the Beatles were necessarily aware of it, but he did influence them and certain songs that they wrote.
Well, that's interesting because way back when with Maharishi and the Beatles.
Yes, through George Harrison, yes.
Way back when, and then I'd heard that it was the whole group of the Maharishi at the time had a mission of establishing peace in the world, and that the Beatles were going to be part of that whole thing. And I remember there was a whole big flim-flam about John Lennon saying something like that the Beatles were more.
Oh, more popular than Jesus.
And Christ, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then, but in a sense, I think, but part of what he could have meant is that with the you know, with the world technology, et cetera, you know, that they probably did reach more people.
Yes.
But,
yes, he was quite greatly misunderstood by that quote. And later explained it more to what you said, that he didn't mean that they were better than Jesus or more important than Jesus, just that their message reached more people instantly than Jesus did during his day, you know, that they were.
And then the there's another Asian, Sri Chimnoy, who is a Oriental master, and he teaches partly through sound and talks about the importance with sound, with food, you know, what you eat, and the source of sound being one. I mean, it's good.
Mm-hmm. It certainly is. Well, and that's why I list, when I give lectures and things and talk about frequency and vibration and how to raise your frequency and vibration, one of the things that I tell people, the easiest way to do it is by being very selective of the music that you listen to. And listen to high frequency, high vibration music, especially with intent. You know, to consciously say and recognize, I am listening to this music because of its frequency and vibration, so that I will raise my frequency and vibration by listening to it.
Yeah, and you can have a big, you can have a choice. I mean, you can choose your music as carefully or not as you choose food.
Right. Definitely. I know. I mean, it's really sad that people just mindlessly turn on the radio and listen to whatever's being broadcast without intention and without conscious selection, because so much of the music that's out there now that you would just hear on a regular commercial radio station is so extremely discordant and chaotic and causes all kinds of horrible things to happen in your body.
Oh, I know. Well, a jumble of sound isn't music any more than words just tossed together in a haphazard manner or a sentence.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you've got it in orderly or rhythmic sound, it's a builder of whatever, of what is happening, all that is, you know?
Right.
Well, my dear, I'm going to...
Well, I'm going to give people your website so they can go see you. It's Healing Soul Songs, right?
Right. It's healingsoulsongs.com. And it was designed by one Troika.
A very long time ago.
It does need to be
updated, but yeah.
Yeah, we're going to update it.
That's how Andrea and I met. She emailed me one day and said, I like the websites that you design, and I'd like you to design a website
for
me.
That's right. This was a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you were snowed in that year, or one of those years, I remember.
Well, I get snowed in quite often. This
now,
winter has been...
Now, we're snowed up here in New Mexico, where I am, until we got a lot of it too now.
Well, you guys all have it. We don't have it this year.
You don't?
No, we've had very little snow. We've had quite a bit of rain, in fact, in the last few days while New York was being bombarded with all their heavy snowstorms. We had rain, so it rained here in town, but it was snowing on the mountain. And today, the mountain came out, all the clouds parted, and she's just magnificent and glorious looking with all of her brand new snow. It was sort of a Valentine's Day present for the town that she,
came
out and said hello. We hadn't seen her in about a week or so.
Wow.
And but it's been, as a non-skier, I have enjoyed this winter more than anyone since I've been here, because
really?
It has been so light. I have not had to shovel my steps, and I only had to be plowed out once, and so it's been nice.
Well, that's good. That's good. I've enjoyed it up here. This is the first year I've been in New Mexico outside of Santa Fe, but the mountains are, now I know why people say that for spiritual activities you go up higher.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm experiencing that. I love it.
Well, you know why that is?
No,
it's,
why?
It's for two very, very specific reasons why masters and wise men and seekers live at high elevations. The higher the elevation, the thinner the atmosphere, and therefore the less thought forms. You know, our thoughts have weight. And when, especially when you're, oh, say in a big city like Los Angeles near sea level and all of that, everybody's thoughts and feelings and emotions have weight and have an effect on everybody else.
That's
and
true.
They're just stagnant in the air and in the atmosphere. That's why people that are really sensitive and they go into big cities
mm-hmm.
are just so overwhelmed. They're literally just bombarded with all these thought forms. And, you know, and if when you sit and you try to meditate or you try to contemplate or think about a task or you know, what should I do now and how should I do that and trying to make some sort of plan and really be with your thoughts, it's very difficult because everybody else's thoughts are swimming through the air and popping in your head and it's real hard to concentrate. But when you go higher, the thought forms, because they have a weight to them, drop and are below you. At 10,000 feet, there are no thought forms.
Is that interesting?
So when you meditate or you are thinking what you know what you want to do or the thoughts that you want to create, it's very clear and it's very easy, and you do not have mind chatter, or as some people call it, monkey brain.
Yeah, monkey mind. Where they jump.
Monkey mind, monkey brain, all that mind chatter and all of that. It doesn't exist above 10,000 feet.
That's interesting.
So that's one reason why it's good to be, you know, up high, elevation-wise. And the other reason is because it's, especially in winter, you know, when it's snowing and it's so cold, frequency has temperature. And the higher the frequency, the colder the temperature.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so when you're, you know, all the masters are always up there in the snow, in the Himalayas and stuff, it's because it's a very high frequency.
I would think it'd be the other way around, like the into the fire would be the...
No, the fire is the grounding, you know, like when you're on the equator or sea level or tropics and stuff. It's a very wonderful feeling to be like in Hawaii and
mm-hmm.
and Tahiti and Fiji and all of those kind of places. But it's different. It's a grounded, earthly frequency. It's more heart center.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's, you know, that's why people are so happy and feel so great in the tropics, is because that warmth is what is helping to open the heart, and it resonates more at that band of our body, whereas the cold is more the crown chakra.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What's working, my dear? I've got to get off the phone here.
Well, thank you so much for calling, and I encourage everybody to go visit Andrea's website, which is healingsoulsongs.com.
Oh, thank you very much. I can do, if people want them, I can do their own customized soul songs.
Yes.
So all they need to do is call, and I can hear the tones of plants and animals and souls, and it doesn't matter whether you're here or on the opposite side of the world.
Mm-hmm.
It still works.
Yeah, I remember before you did my soul song, before you composed the whole thing, you heard my tones over the phone, and you were at your keyboard. And you played a few tones, and I just burst into tears.
Did you really?
Do you remember that?
No.
I just,
but a lot of people do, though.
Yeah, I just, you know, it was just this overwhelming feeling, and I just had tears just flowing out of my eyes. It just,
well, I remember your soul song, too. I didn't realize that you were as close to St. Germain as you are, and then I remember in yours, there's the bells in there.
Yeah, you call them the bells of St. Germain.
St. Germain, yeah, because I remember seeing those on another level. Whenever anybody has a pure thought, there really are these bells, and I saw them as, I don't know, it looked like a metallic substance just outline, but like a spider web or something.
Uh-huh.
Whenever there's a pure thought, those bells ring.
Huh.
I remember seeing that, so.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that I had the bells of Saint Germain.
Yeah.
In my soul song, and
you do. You do.
You didn't know anything about that then, or about me then, and I didn't tell you. But I thought, oh, that's good.
No, I didn't know anything about
that. Yeah, and I think my tone is E, isn't it?
I think it is. I think it's an E major. I forgot. Well, I'll have to do it again.
Yeah.
Call up or something and we'll see. As a matter of fact, some people never change, but let's see. Some people do change from a major to a minor in their key, but each person in their key has a major or minor, but one is more predominant. So
mm-hmm.
I know a friend of mine, you know Mary, she had hers done. She was an E minor and ended up E major. So interesting stuff.
What do you think the difference is between the major and the minor? Is
like
a masculine side and one a feminine? Or?
I've been trying to figure it out, but usually I think that the major, as I've been listening to people and questioning them throughout the years, been doing this for, what, over 12 years or so, but anyway, I think that the minor is a very spiritual type of person, but they express themselves, they're not really right out there in the middle of the whole. In the middle of the thing,
More background.
Yeah, they're more background, or they just sort of just would prefer not to be so out in public. But
uh-huh.
Of course, you're a major; you're right out there.
Well, but see, that's funny. That's odd because at the time when you did that, I was very much a background person.
You what?
I very much was a background person. You know, I was. I was not openly metaphysical. I wasn't doing workshops and lectures and readings for people, and I wasn't producing the products. I was a support system for all of the rest of you.
Yeah, but I'm sort of referring to as a personality.
Oh,
I mean, okay.
Well, yeah, I've always been a little outrageous.
You're right out there, girl.
Yes, I guess so. Okay, I've always been a little outrageous.
Not, you know, like one minor I'm thinking of just kind of has, you know, wouldn't just kind of soft pedal things that wouldn't want to be confront people.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of thing. And I don't think that's you.
I don't like to confront people, actually.
Confrontation was it?
I don't. Yeah, I don't like confrontation, and I don't like conflict and arguments. And I'd rather just let somebody have their way, right or wrong, than get into conflict. But I am a very open.
Now, I think of you as a strong person.
I am strong, but that doesn't mean
that's
I like
what
to.
I was thinking about.
But that doesn't mean I like to argue with people.
Confrontation was a poor choice on my part.
I am strong, and I'm very independent, and I've got a big mouth, and I know how to use it.
Well, I was trying to say something to that effect, but I didn't know how to say it.
I'm sort of, you know, the Bette Midler of metaphysics.
With that, I'm hanging up.
Okay.
Okay.
Happy Valentine's Day, and thank you for calling.
Okay, it's been fun.
Okay. Bye-bye. Really, Andrea's fabulous. You should go and check out her website. So what I also was going to say about Valentine's Day, and I'm going to, I'm expecting some other people to call, so I'm going to put this little present, my little Valentine's Day present to everybody out there now. So if I get someone else calling, I make sure that I say this. About a half an hour before the show, I thought the idea came to me to give everybody a Valentine's Day present. And the way I've done that is on my website, ascensionstgermain.com, I went and I created a coupon, a coupon voucher that will give you 14% off of anything that you buy on the website. And I made it 14% for Valentine's Day, February 14th, and it's good for 48 hours. So today's what, Wednesday? So Friday night at midnight it expires. So you can just go on to AscensionSaintGermain.com, and when you click on a Buy Me button or an Add to Shopping Cart link, once you get the shopping cart, on the very first page of the shopping cart, if you scroll down a little bit, it'll say, do you have a voucher, or enter voucher here, or some such thing. And if you put in radio, R-A-D-I-O, in all capital letters, you will then get 14% off of everything that you buy. Not shipping and handling, but all the merchandise. And nobody knows about it except you guys that are listening right now. So happy Valentine's Day. And what I was going to start to say about Valentine's Day is, on this day particularly, for me, here in Mount Shasta, nothing really out of the ordinary happened. No events or surprises or anything out of the ordinary. But I did feel just a tremendous sense of love and beautiful energy all day today. And I went into town and interfaced with some people, and just, you know, in the supermarket and the post office and just different normal everyday kind of places. And everybody I encountered was in such an incredible, lighthearted, open, wonderful mood. I mean, it really, truly was Valentine's Day for everybody. And it was really a nice change, because the last 3 days I have not been in a Valentine's Day mood. The Mercury retrograde energy and the Mercury stationary stuff really kind of affected me. And I was just downright crabby. So it was really nice to feel this total upliftment. And hello?
Hello, Troika.
Yes?
This is Melody.
Melody, hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Happy Valentine's Day.
And happy Valentine's Day to you, too.
And of course, I, with me, it's also Happy Valentino Day.
Well, I don't usually celebrate these holidays. They don't really mean much to me. What do I celebrate? I celebrate life.
Right. Well, it's a good excuse to celebrate.
I suppose
the sentiment of the moment, you know.
Yeah, I like to send out emails and things like that, but I'm not too big on the holiday stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like celebrating life all the time.
Right.
And holidays have too much commercial stuff attached to them to mean anything.
They do. A lot of them do. But, you know, you can still enjoy the thought of the moment without buying all the commercial stuff, you know.
Right.
And, you know, and I think a good excuse to remind us to be loving and sweet to everyone is something like Valentine's Day. And, you know, to people that are listening and stuff, I've known Melody for a very long time, but there was a long period of separation where we just lost contact with each other, and she tracked me down on the internet not too long ago, and so we're just starting to get reacquainted. But Melody knows me from, what, 25 years ago or so?
20-something, I don't know.
Yeah, and of course in those days I wasn't married, and I'm still not married.
Me
and I
either.
Didn't have a boyfriend, and I still don't have a boyfriend. So,
no,
and
we're both single women.
Yes, and you know, and I've been that way my whole life, so I've never celebrated Valentine's Day in that traditional way of the sweetheart romance thing, but I just love the whole thing about it. And I'll tell you a little secret. I'll use you, Melody, as the excuse to tell this, because I was telling it to everybody anyway. A long time ago, I asked Saint Germain what his birthday was, and he just laughed and he said, "You know, a birthday belongs to a body, not to not to a spirit or an energy. And he goes, I've had so many bodies and so many incarnations, and each one had a different birthday. So if
which
you
one?
Insist, yeah, he goes, if you insist upon giving me a birthday or celebrating a birthday for me, just pick a day and it'll be fine with me. So I gave it a lot of thought as to what day I would select as Saint Germain's birthday. And I selected Valentine's Day. And I did that for several reasons. Number one, because he's just so sweet and such a wonderful love. But he's the lord of the Aquarian age. So I figured, well, he should have an Aquarian birthday. So that narrowed it down, you know, to those 30 days of Aquarius. And then I thought, okay, well, you know, it's obvious that right there in the middle of Aquarius is Valentine's Day. And it's the 14th of the month, which is 2 times 7. He's, you know, lord of the seventh ray. So it's 2 times 7 is 14. And some people, you know, would say to me, well, why not pick the 7th? And I have a good answer for that, too. In numerology, if I picked February 7th, the February is the second month, so there would be 2 and 7 would equal 9. But on
which
the
is
14th,
a bad number?
Is a adds up to a 5, and the 2 from February makes it a 7 day. So I celebrate Valentine's Day as Saint Germain's birthday. I've never told that publicly before. And, you know, it's. I have his permission that if we all want to start celebrating February 14th as St. Germain's birthday, it's okay with him.
Well, why not? Because February the 12th is my sister-in-law's birthday, and February the 16th is my nephew's birthday,
mm-hmm.
And February 9th, 10th, and 11th represent 3 of the last men I've gone out with in the last 10 years. And that's probably why I'm not married, because I keep picking on Aquariuses that don't want to commit.
Well, I know.
But and they make great friends. They're wonderful people.
Well,
but,
you know, Aquarians love all of mankind.
And I'm a double Aries. I want all the attention.
Yes, they love the concept of mankind and not necessarily the individual. And of course, with the upcoming age of Aquarius, that fits right in because it's the age of brotherhood and equality. Where all of us are equal to each other, and not anyone is the big leader and everyone else is the devotee, you know. So Aquarian age is very appropriate for that. And it's appropriate for Saint Germain too, because he just loves everybody, you know. The name Saint Germain in Latin is Sanctus Germanius, which means holy brother. And that's the way he thinks of himself as everybody's brother. So, that's my little Valentine's Day St. Germain story.
Well, I want you to know that I had to spend about 15 minutes trying to get this going on my computer here. And finally I did, and I finally got the phone number off of the website and called. And I couldn't figure out what to call about this afternoon, so I thought up a good question for you.
Oh, okay.
That your listeners might be interested in, and that would be to explain what is the difference between visualizing yourself surrounded with white light and visualizing yourself surrounded with the violet flame.
Oh, okay. Very good question. Did you hear me talking to Andrea before?
No, actually, when I got through, that was the first moment I heard your voice.
Oh, okay.
And I knew I was going to be able to actually talk to you. Up until then, I wasn't able to get this thing going on my computer.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, Andrea is a very gifted musician, and we were talking about how everything is energy and frequency and vibration. You know, all of creation is energy, and different energies produce different results, and that sound is energy made audible, and color is energy made visible. So just based on that alone, white light has its has a certain frequency and vibration, and violet light has a different frequency and vibration because of the color difference. It's a different form of energy. And each color has their own frequency and vibration. And because of a, of that frequency and vibrational difference, their realm of influence or sphere of influence or effects that they produce are different. And white light is the collimation of all colors. Some people say it's the collimation of all colors. Some people say it's the absence of all color. There's always been an argument from day one about black and white. Some people say black is all colors because if you put everything together, it would make black.
And yeah, that applies when you're using paint.
Right, right.
And but then, when you're using light, I think it's the opposite.
Well, and then others say that, you know, that black is the absence of color. Of course, the void is black, and all creation happens in the void. So, you know, the black and white gets to be, and I think both points of view are correct. It can either, they can both be the collimation of all or the absence of, but they're, I look at black and white as very neutral. They don't really have, they have a great use, you know, in meditation. Going into the darkness or into the void is the seat of all creation, and you can create anything you want from there. And white light to me is very neutral as well, whereas the different colors have a distinct purpose. Now violet, and there's a difference between violet light and the violet flame. They're two different things. They just share the color violet. But, you know, violet light is the crown chakra, and it's a very high frequency color. It's the highest frequency of our visible spectrum is violet. And so it stands for spirituality and great upliftment and, you know, the higher realms. Now, the violet flame is an actual physical interdimensional fire, and its purpose is to transmute negativity. It literally burns off the gooey, sticky, negative thoughts that get caught in our bodies, our mental bodies, our physical bodies, our emotional bodies. And so it has an action. Some people call it the cosmic eraser because it erases negativity and transmutes it into whatever you ask it to be transmuted into. I tend to use, when I use the violet flame to transmute things, I ask it to be transmuted not into white light, but into the golden light. And the reason why I like to use the golden light is because that is the Christ consciousness. And whenever you see, gosh, from way back, the Catholic little holy pictures, you know, they always have the halo or the little crown of light, and it's usually a golden light, or the gold halo, that signifies the Christ consciousness, that person has achieved that state of the Christ consciousness. And that's what I would like to do, is become, you know, a living embodiment of the Christ consciousness energy. So that's what I call in and surround myself with, because the more you call in a light or a color or a quality, the more you become that which you associate with.
Well, I certainly don't have any trouble calling in purple. It's my favorite color.
Yes, I know. It's always been mine, too.
And I definitely know the difference in vibration of colors.
Mm-hmm.
As you recall, I had a gift with crystals when we met.
Right, and a very good artist.
And
a musician.
I could tell the difference in the chakras I don't know how to explain it. I would feel a vibration that would go up my spine, sometimes into my head and then back down again and then rest somewhere in my body. And then I would open my hand and look at the crystals that you had placed there, and it would pertain to whatever chakra I said my body was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked after the last time I saw you. I'd been working with crystals for all these years, to the point where I was desensitized for a while.
Yeah.
But if I walk into a room that has a lot of crystals in it, like take your favorite crystal store from any big city,
mm-hmm.
or any place that has a lot of crystals in one room, and you walk into that room, I would feel like somebody injected me with espresso.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd just be buzzing.
Yeah. Hey, you're in Sedona now. Did you go to the Tucson Gem Show, speaking of rooms with tons of crystals?
Well, yeah. Actually, I'm not in Sedona.
Yeah, I know,
but
I'm in Cottonwood.
I'm close.
Yeah.
I'm close, very close. And there are crystal stores there, but actually, I got enough in my bedroom to keep me awake at night sometimes.
Mm-hmm. There's going to be a 3-day crystal. What are they calling it? It's a 3-day event that's going to be in Ashland, Oregon, which is about, well, let's see, I'll tell you exactly. Ashland, Oregon is 75 miles from here, from Mount Shasta. And I think it's in June.
I might be there then.
Yeah, which
that's
is true.
That's approximately when I was hoping to be there.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And late spring or early in the summer when I...
Do you remember ever meeting, his name is Richard Simmons, no correlation to the exercise guy. He's the one that brought Moldavite to the United States years and years ago. He's got a store in, I believe it's Vermont or Maine, somewhere way up there, called Heaven and Earth. He's the one that's putting on it's called the Crystal Conference. That's it, the Crystal Conference. And it's going to be in Ashland. I'm not sure what weekend it is. I know that...
Well, if you find out, send me a link
to
a website where I can get more information.
I will. I called them and asked about being a vendor there because it's so close. But I have to make sure it doesn't conflict with the Cryon event that's here. Every June, Cryon comes and does a big 3-day thing, and I always exhibit there. Well, I don't always. I did it last year, and it was really great. And I ended up Lee Carroll and his former wife and several other people that are there are all using my products now. So they want me back, which is great. And that is the weekend of the 17th and 18th of June. And Greg Braden's going to be on the podium with them this year. I'm looking forward to that.
He's an interesting man.
I've never been able to see Greg or meet him in person.
Have you read any of his work or listened to him when he's on Coast to Coast?
Yeah, I've been a fan of his work for a long time, so it's going to be wonderful to get to meet him finally.
Yeah, it would be exciting. He's a very interesting person.
Yeah. Oh, I also want to remind all the listeners that today is the last day, or possibly tomorrow is the last day to get the $50 discount on WESAC tickets for Mount Shasta in May 4th through 6th is the WESAC Festival, and then I'm doing a special one-day workshop on the 7th. So again, go to Saint Germain, what is my website? AscensionSaintGermain.com. Click on WESAC off of the side menu and read about those tickets because today's the last day for the $50 discount. They go up $25 tomorrow, and then a week or so, shortly after that, they go up another $25 to ultimately $300. But right now, they're $250. So get your WESAC tickets. And if you use the link on my website, you will get a free bottle of St. Germain's elixir. Just come to my booth, and I'll have your names, and you will get a free elixir. Okay, that's the end of that commercial. So
well, that sounds like a good deal.
It is. It's a great deal. This is the first time in this is the 13th year that they've been doing WESAC here, and it's the first time ever that they've had early ticket purchase discounts. So it's very, very revolutionary, and it's really great. Because, you know, $50 is $50.
Yep. And to some people, that's a lot of money.
Well, it is. You know, it's at least a night or two in a hotel here. I mean, it kind of pays for your lodging. Or a very fancy dinner.
I was taking a sip out of a soda when you said that, and I almost blew soda all over the...
Well, I hope you're not drinking diet soda with aspartame in it.
No, I drink diet soda with Splenda.
Oh, that Splenda is just as bad, if not worse, than aspartame.
I'm sure it is, but I can't handle the sugar.
Well, how about water?
You know, I've never been real big on drinking tons
of water. Or iced herbal tea.
Well, I mean, I eat that from time to time.
I'm not kidding. I don't like being the food police, because, you know, God knows I'm not the food police. But when it comes to those two substances, they are so harmful and so bad for your body. They really, I hate to see my friends.
Well, I have to weigh the odds. I have too many people in the family that have had diabetes. So I just act like I'm a diabetic so that I don't become one. In other words, I eat
right
the way a diabetic would eat.
I actually do the same thing.
And I absolutely avoid sugar in every form, except once in a while I just go nuts and I have to have something sweet, like a donut. I mean, there is just no substitute, you know? So,
guys, I can't remember the last time I had a donut.
Well, I don't do that kind of thing very often.
They were never one of my weaknesses, you know. I go just straight for the chocolate.
Chocolate, yes, absolutely. The dark stuff, too.
In fact, I had some tonight. I thought, oh, it's Valentine's Day. I'll have chocolate.
That's what I should have requested. My roommate went to the store earlier today and said, do you want anything? And I couldn't think of anything, and I should have requested a bar of dark chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
That would have done the trick.
Yes.
Given my sweet tooth, it's...
Well, you know, science has proven now that good quality dark chocolate is
good
for
you.
It's very healthy. And it's a good antioxidant, and it raises the all the endorphins, and
yeah, it makes you feel good.
Isn't it great when science finally gives us validation of what we've known all along?
Well, yeah, actually, it is great. You know, in the 60s and early 70s, I was studying nutrition, and I came to some radical conclusions about it. One being that everybody is different.
Exactly.
And everybody's tastes are different.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore the right diet is A, the one that appeals to you, the one you can stick to.
Exactly. And the one that fits your body.
And the one that works for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why there are hundreds of them out there, is because everybody likes different things. Everybody responds differently to different things. And me, I'll stay away from the sugar and I'll take my chances with the diet soda, but
you,
I don't eat a lot of junk.
Have
you
looked over the blood type diet?
I don't know. If it's similar to the body type diet, then I might have a clue.
Well,
I've
the body type diet, that one pays attention to your dominant gland, like the thyroid and the pituitary and the adrenal.
Yeah, but I fell into all of his categories. I couldn't find my category on that one. So.
Oh well, I'm.
And I don't know my blood types.
I'm thyroid with a dominant thyroid with a sub of pituitary, but the blood type diet is really fascinating because you know it really brings out to truth that thought of yours about, oh gosh, you know, our radio show's over, I'm going to still talk.
Really?
The thought about not everything being good for everyone. I'm an AB, which is a rare blood type, and most diets are based on the O blood type, which is the dominant one. So it's worth looking into. I do have to get off the show, off the air, because there's somebody coming on after me.
Okay.
But it was great talking to you, and let me say goodbye to everyone, and I'll talk to you later.
Okay, Trecca.
Thanks, Melody.
Have a good night.
Thank you, too.
Bye-bye.
Well, everybody, thank you so much for listening to the show, and I hope you found it interesting. And we'll be back next week, same time, same station. And Violet blessings in the meantime. Bye.